You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
6 minutes after 9 South African time. Let's welcome the listeners of Valentano, the listeners of Marcus Sahaba, and the listeners of Sirius FM. Remember 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27847863132. Somebody says, your Ustad, is it jais to take this COVID vaccine? I see certain masjids in Johannesburg are becoming vaccine sites, Ustad.
Not science, they become vaccine centers. Okay, so you must remember, they put in the vaccine science there. So anyway, you must remember that these people, yeah, they'll close the mosque, but make it a vaccine center. That is the science. You must remember that we got in South Africa. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Our fatwa regarding this COVID corona vaccine is not even a vaccine, first of all. It's an experiment. You must remember that. Therefore, leave Islam a little bit out of this. You saw what happened in Paris, 160,000 people marching and this type of thing. So in Cape Town, how many thousand people marching and all that? Majority of them non-Muslim and so forth. So you must remember that this is part of the one world order to make people foolish and idiots. Again, Uksa, they are the people who are promoting this here. So 100% bootlicking the government, you must remember. They got nothing to do with deen. They scholars for dollars. You must remember these things here. Majority of them, one, two organizations, maybe you can exempt. But generally, that's what they're doing. So remember, our fatwa is totally haram and not permissible. And it's an absolute. This is the people, you, who are reading Salat here. You know, let me be honest about these issues. From last year, March, you know, when all this lockdown story started, I remember this, you know, March 27th. So it was Friday. So I went to two, three masjids who I know that I told them, see, you're leaving open or closed? He said, open. I said, no, then it's good. I said, whatever you want, we will be there. You want lecture, we're there. You want Jummah, we're there. You want Eid, we're there. You want Imamat, we'll be there. So even now, Alhamdulillah, you must, others closed, they closed. But where we go normally, so Alhamdulillah, that they left it open and so forth. But that are people, you know, these lawyers we deal with. Mm-hmm. Our brother Zahir Umar, our Abu Bakr, our Yusha Tayyab, our Zahir Adam, our Feroz Boda, and all of them. They got more understanding than these Maulvis who are closing the masjid and selling vaccines and all these type of things there. Mm-hmm. Promoting these vaccines and this type of things there. It's absolute shame and disgrace, man.
Somebody says here, you are a boom. You say it very well. I leave all my work and said to hear you. Lovely topic. Keep up, Mufti sir. Uksa, I am what Mufti. Anonymous Ustad.
One Maulvi sent a message today. And he says, I did a lot of wrong against you. And forgive me. I said, see, bhai, that is not my issue, your issue. For me to forgive, I forgive you. But you must learn your people's lesson. You understand that it's not I want to score points or I want followers. We're not interested in these things here. Our function, our duty is to promote the deen and to defend the deen. Mm. And that is the lesson you must send to this Uksa and all of them. You see today, Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai, he sent out the pamphlet. I sent it to everybody on my contact list. I agree with the man. Yes, with the language you can have problem. But the message is 100% truth. You must remember that. There's people here have sold the deen, you must remember, completely. And the titles he uses, many a time is the right title to use.
Somebody says, your Ustad, could you please let us know who is a part of Uksa and who's the name Ustad?
So you must just go on the website, you will see all the members there and all of them.
Somebody says, please comment on organizations posting pictures of themselves and their workers when assisting in aid, and also commenting that our organization did this, and so on and on and on, Ustad.
Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned from Hajj, arrived for Hajj on the 4th of Zilhijjah, and left when departed from Makkah, from the outskirts, on the 14th of Zilhijjah. And then the dua Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made in Ibn Majah is mentioned, Allahumma jal hajjana hajjatan la riyaha fiha wa la sum'a. Ya Allah, make our Hajj such a Hajj. Obviously the Master alayhi wa sallam was because he is, will always be the most beloved, the most precious to Almighty Allah in the entire universe, to set the precedent for humanity and posterity. Allahumma ja'ala hajjatan la riya'a fiha wa la sum'a. Ya Allah, do not let it be to impress the eyes of people. Wa la sum'a, not to impress the ears of people. So that is what way we are lacking. Our ikhlas, our sincerity is not there. So remember that. What is ikhlas? Jalwat mein, khalwat mein, a'mal ka barabar hona. In privacy and public, our actions must remain the same. That is sincerity. So ABC organization take 100 videos. We did this. Put their big name there. For what you want to do? Khulus mein hai fulus. Do work of Allah Ta'ala. You must remember sincerely. Allah will put in the hearts of people. You must remember. They will say, come, let me do this for you. Let me do. But what? Today is not you. People went to complain. They say that, you know, that AK calls us scholars for dollars. So I said, no, that I didn't say that only. I say this also. I say Quran says, yu'minuna bil ghaib. That you must remember that Quran says, believe in the unseen. But you guys, you chaps, that's what I call you. You guys and you chaps, you must remember, you're not yu'minuna bil ghaib. You yu'minuna bil jayb. You use Islam to enrich yourself and your families. Zakat will go to your family. Zakat will go to your children. Zakat will go here. We know all your activities you're doing. One day we'll expose everything when we have a financial and a professional audit and all these things here. So you must understand that all these things here is just for name and fame. And therefore Allah disgraces them so much. Allah protect us all.
I would like to know if the son, Ustad, got all the father's inheritance, and he says the father gave it to him, so he does not have to give to the sister any share. Is that correct, Ustad?
He goes straight to hell. You brother, if what you are doing is right, you saying is right, you go straight to hell. And if you're rejecting it, you're non-Muslim. Surah number 4, verses number 13, 14. Quran says, if you do the inheritance and the shares properly, وَذَٰلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 14. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. Whosoever disobeys Almighty Allah and Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes beyond the limits and the boundaries. Now there's 1 million, 5 million, he took everything. So you must remember there are one sons, two daughters, whatever the permutations might be. So he ate up, devoured everything. Yudkhilhu naran khalidan fiha. Allah dispatches him to Jahannam for very, very, very long time. Walahu azabu muheen. For such a person will be a humiliating punishment. Surah 4, verse 14. So we must be clear, whatever you are doing is haram. You, the sisters, go to court, name him, shame him, whatever. So if it is one son and two daughters, so remember, if you just take 100,000, so 50,000 for the son, 25,000 for the daughters. So that is what Islam says, what Quran says. What you are doing, absolutely haram. And if you reject it, you are under the fall of Islam.
Ustad, my mom always blame our sisters when something wrong goes in our house, and everything must happen her way. Yet, Mufti Sahab, we respect both my parents. And then she says we don't pay attention to her. We accept that sometimes we do mistakes when she's teaching us cooking and other things, but we also ask forgiveness from her. She blames us for being dumb, Ustad.
So remember, your mother is a perfectionist. So what she wants when she makes the drihuk kulikuk, when she makes the samosa, you call Molana, you know, drihuk kulikuk. Yeah. So that is what the Buddha used to call it, drihuk kulikuk. So you must remember that, so you don't make the pearl properly, that you're learning and you make it a square, or you make the roti a square, then your mother shouts you. So you must say Alhamdulillah. So tomorrow when you get married, your husband will be very happy that my wife is a perfectionist and very good and all that. So your mother is doing this for your benefit and so forth. So every day make dua. When the teacher shouts the students, it's not he hates you, he loves you more. He wants you must become an asset to society. duty. This afternoon in my report back, I said, and let me repeat it again. All you who are my students, you studied by me there in Darul Uloom, you understand, Newcastle, or you studied by me here in Channel Islam and so forth. If you were Uksa and you agree with Uksa, you must take my name out from your certificate. Allah. I withdraw myself. You're not my student. You're Dajjal. You're Iblis. You're worse than Dajjal. That is the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you must remember, we don't need students like that. So you must remember that Allah Ta'ala selects whoever He wants to. So your mother is doing the same thing. So tomorrow when you get married, you become a mother, then you will understand. Sometime I go here and there. They married, they got children, they beat me and they cry. They said, you know, we used to think you're so hard with us in class and that. But today we're doing the same thing because we know what we know how much effort you used to make to teach us, you know. I used to tell them I study 15, 20 books a day to teach you, and you come here, you can waste my time. So you must remember these things, yeah? So when you go through this, then you'll appreciate your mother even more. When your mother shouts you, then go and kiss her hand. Allah. Say, Ummi, we love you even more. So that is a mother.
Subhanallah. Somebody says, the anonymous Ustad, says, Mufti Sahab, who are you to say we are kafir? Bring evidence. We're taking money from the Shias. You have no proof, Ustad.
Yes, then why you don't say that I'm Muslim? So you must remember, say it in un-Muslim. What is preventing you from saying that? Come.
Somebody says, yeah, Ustad, Mufti said, my husband not giving me pocket money. We married from 20 years. He provide food and shelter, that's all. Not give respect, swearing, shouting, treating me like a dog. Not allowed to go anywhere, Ustad.
You must remember that all these are feuds between a husband and wife and so forth. So in a case like that, you must remember that you must go to your parents or go to the elders of his family. And Quran Kareem states, وَسُلْحُ خَيْرٌ. That reconciliation is the best. You must remember that. So when you say reconciliation is the best, Quran Sharif states, وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحْ. So you must remember that compromise is required from both sides. So the husband has to make compromise and the wife has to make compromise.
Somebody says, Ustaz, last night about 3 a.m. in the morning, I heard some noise in the lounge, some rattling. Then I came to see it, it stopped. Then when I went back in the room, it started again. Really scared, Mufti, so please help. Must I get a Hakim, Ustad?
Oh, you don't need no Hakim, you don't need... If you go and get these guys, they'll tell you there's one jinnat there. You get another guy, he'll tell you there's jadu there. And all of them will take money from you. So you must remember that you must make wudu, read Ayatul Kursi, and read the four kul, Surah Fatiha, and sleep. Lot of times you're thinking of the rioting, looting, and lot of things play on your mind and so forth. So therefore, you read all that and you sleep nicely, inshallah. Make wudu always and sleep.
Somebody says, we're thinking of moving to Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, Ustad. What's your advice on that?
I went there, you must remember, this Dar es Salaam, Zanzibar and all these places. From a safety point of view, it's very safe, I'll tell you that. But you must remember that as far as the people go, you don't know how many different groups there are. You get the Boris there, you get this one here, you get this one there. So, and they're very, very powerful there. You must remember these type of things here. And everybody knows our fatwa regarding these type of people. They're not Muslim. So in a case like this, you must be very clear. When you want to speak, all of you, you South Africans, because of the riots and because of the looting and what, listen to this one advice I'm telling you. If it's you and your wife, like me and my wife, we got no children, no nothing. If we want to pack up, we can go here and there. We're sitting still, we're not going anywhere. So I'm just giving an example. But your case is not like that. You got children, you got grandchildren. So are you going to go to ABC country, XYZ country, and you are making your children, your grandchildren, ideal candidates? You must remember to become murtad. Because there's no infrastructure there. I told you the story and I'm repeating it now. Many years ago in Medina Munawwara, So the South African, this 10, 15 years ago, I can't remember exactly, but many, many years. They told me, come here to our hotel and you must give a talk. So one side was a man, one side was a woman, different rooms. So I said, fine. I gave in the ending, I told them, I'm finished. You've got questions you can ask, but I want to end off on this. You see, all of you who are staying here in Medina, so Makkah, Medina, wherever you're staying, so you must remember, best thing for you, you all must go back home. Take your children, go back home. So they were very upset. I told them Imam Abu Hanifa was born in the year 80 and he passed away in 150. Therefore, Imam Abu Hanifa used to say in those days that to stay there on a permanent basis is makruh, is not right, because you will not be able to show the due respect you need for the Haramain Sharifain. You will treat it like an ordinary place afterwards. One. Two is, I asked them this question, your children, where are they going madrasa? What are they learning about Islam? So that got finished, I went away. After 1-2 years, I can't remember exactly, the same one parent came to me, said, come speak to my children. I say, what happened? He say, now they don't want to listen anything. When they read Salat, one leg in the east, one leg in the west, they don't want to wear a hat, they don't read Sunnat Salat, they don't do nothing. So I said, when I told you all that time you thought I'm talking nonsense. Now you see, that's exactly what will happen. Instead, you'll stay in South Africa, that they will never do all these crazy things. But when they stay there, they get influenced by all these activities there. See, this is a sunnah. This is a sunnah. This is a sunnah. So imagine you write in Medina Munawwara and you make a mockery of the sunnah. So what good is there in your staying in Medina Munawwara? Think properly about that. Think not about yourself. Think about your children and grandchildren. When I gave my khutbah in America Eid Day, that was the question I posed to them. You all are making your children ideal candidates for murtad and to fly out of the fold of Islam. They came, everyone doctor, not ordinary GP, everyone a professional and specialist and what. Some of them came, they were crying. They said, first time a person told us these things. I said, see, I studied your people's system here, and what you all are doing, you're just playing with Islam here. So they must say, that the children hardly know anything, and then they'll just meet somebody, and then they'll fly out of the fold of Islam, Allah forbid. So that is the greatest concern you should have. Surah 66, verse 6, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Say, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you must address them, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, that, O you who believe, save yourself and your children from the fire.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody says, Ustad, a dua or dhikr to recite so that you can have energy and fulfill all tasks for the day, Ustad.
Yes, wake up Fajr time, wake up Tahajjud time. I was there Sunday. Saturday I went and I spent the night in Trikhat and then Sunday. So every namaz, like I give 1-2 advices. So after Isha and after Fajr I gave. I asked them, okay, brothers, now I'll be finishing. How many of you are going to sleep? You see all of them looking down. So I said, you see, this is our problem. Hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. Mustafa Rahmatul Lil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriya. Ya Allah, give barakah, blessing to my ummah in the early part of the day. So we must be awake Fajr time. We must be awake Tahajjud time. After Fajr, we must be active already. Sunday, the way we carry on, that we, even if you read Fajr, we must go and sleep. So then I told them one narrative, one story, one episode. I said, you see the southern South American countries, 90%, 80% I visited them. So I went to Paraguay, Uruguay, Brazil, Argentina, all these places. When I landed there in Paraguay, I saw a beautiful masjid, all Bangladeshi brothers, you know, who were there like. And our one South African Maulana and Hafiz Abinad were there. So then after that, I asked them, who built this masjid? They said, we built it. I said, you didn't get any assistance from other Muslims, other countries, government? I said, nothing, nothing. Apna paisa, our money. I said, very good, you know. Then I asked them, what are you all doing? They said, you want to come? You must come tomorrow morning, Fajr time, after Fajr, before Fajr. We go and we start our flea market. We read Fajr, we go and so forth. Subhanallah, Fajr time, they're already gone. And so forth, after Fajr, they go on early part of the morning. Every second one of them is a millionaire. And if you open that hadith, you must remember in Tirmidhi, one of the Ravi reporters says, I used to take out my merchandise and go buy and sell and all that in the early part of the morning. And Sara Za Sarwatin, he became a millionaire, very rich person. One hadith he practiced on, of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this ummah, when I went to Pakistan, the shops only opened 10 o'clock. When I came here to Lange, January 2001, more than 20 years ago, first eight, I went somewhere, so I look at all the shops closed. I said, these chips are just like the Pakistanis or what? Then they said, no, here we open 9, up past 9, we take it a little bit easy and all that. The greatest barakah that will, you see my emails, my messages, all that, early part of the morning, we busy. So you must, what you can do at that time, you can never do any other time. So you must remember, that is how you will get barakah, you will get, be active, and inshallah, Allah will protect you. Man salla subha fawa fi zimmatillah. You read Fajr Salat, the man in the masjid, you the woman, read it on time in your house, you under divine protection, Allah will protect you. Remember that. It's authentic hadith in Musnad Ahmad Mishkat Sharif.
Ustaz, the father is saying here, please help me. My son is 26 years old and brought his 40-year-old girlfriend to live in my house with him. He threatens me in my own home, Ustaz. He don't work and I'm so scared of him that I am deciding to leave and go. Ustaz.
So why are you scared of him? You are the father. So unless you must remember, you worried about that he's giving you income, you are a pensioner or you got no income. So you must kick him and his girlfriend out of the house. And you must call the police and so over and tell them that this house is your house and they are now invading, trespassing here in your house and so forth. See Alamat of Qiyamat, 1400 years ago plus. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about the signs of Qiyamah. This is Sahih hadith, authentic hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif. Antalid al amatu rabbataha. The lady, the mother, will give birth to a master. So the mother, father are so frightened, they can't tell the son anything. He can bring girlfriend, commit fornication, do whatever he wants to in their house. Because now he will tell the parents, you talk too much, I will cut you off from the medical aid, I will not do this, I will. So they will allow. So the parents have become the slave, and the children have become the masters. The daughter got a MA, she got a BA, she got a DA, and I don't know, CA, and so many other things. So she, I got my independence. I'll bring my boyfriend here and you talk, then I will not give you your medicine, I won't pay for this. This is all sa'ah, the signs of Qiyamah. You must remember that Muslim is speaking of Muslim. So this is the, but now you have to rewind, you know, that the parents, you must remember, we have to ask themselves one question. When our children, our flowers were growing up, did we really teach them Islam? Did we really teach them what is the rank of parents and so forth? So that are questions that are really, really people have to ask themselves. As a father, did I do a good job? As a mother, did I do a good job? These are questions. Today, he said, no, the life coach will do it. Is the life coach job or your job? No, the Maulana will do it. The school will do it. The parents have to do it. Remember, Rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Ya Allah, have mercy on them. As they nurtured me, as they trained me, as they brought me up when I was a baby, when I was young, when I was a teenager. So that is what Islam is teaching.
Allahu Akbar. Ustaz, listen to this message. Dear Mufti Sahab, I am one of the trustees that sent on social media that closed the masajids. Please, I'm asking Allah to forgive me. I now have stage 2 cancer. I was a healthy man, and all of a sudden, Allah sent the sickness to me. All musallis, I sincerely ask for maaf. Anonymous will start.
Remember, brother, I don't know you. If you ask me, I say maaf. But is that sufficient? It's not sufficient. When you were the trustee, and you put big, big boards there on the masjid, that masjid closed, then there's and all that. So then, action has reaction. Allah ki lati be awaz hai. So you have to stand in your masjid and say, me, I was a trustee, I resign now because I'm not fit to be a trustee, and Allah is punishing me now, and so forth, and I ask you for forgiveness, and you cry to Allah. Allah is there to forgive. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Don't become despondent, disillusioned in the mercy of Allah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Allah will forgive. But my brother, you got, what is it, the second stage?
Stage 2 cancer.
Stage 2. Allah forbid it can go to stage 3, stage 4, and I don't know what else. So before it reaches that, you go to the masjid and you address them when it's the biggest crowd. Maghrib time, you know, is the biggest crowd, or Isha time, whatever. Stand up, you are the trustee. Say, me, my name, you'll know. I did this, I beg you all for forgiveness, and it was a big, big blunder I did. At-tawbatu mislul hawba. When we commit the crime in private, then we have to make tawbah in private. When we commit a crime in public, then we have to ask forgiveness also in public. And cry to Allah, brother. We all make mistakes in life.
Allah, Ustad, a brother is crying and he says, I was ignorant. He's asking you for maaf, Ustad.
For me, I don't even know you, brother. For me, it's all maaf, but I'm asking you, brother, you have to ask your musallis, you have to ask Allah for forgiveness. I can show you the advice. Asking me is nothing, brother. I don't know you. I don't know which masjid you are. So, but I can tell you what you must do.
29 minutes to 10 o'clock. We go for an interval. When you come back, we will continue with the Q&A. Stay tuned.